In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mothering Sunday is a very English institution. Unlike Mother's Day or Muttertag, Fête des Mères in other countries, it is not just a day to be nice to our mothers. Well, it is that. It is that. Just make sure you hear that, okay? It is that, but it's also more, because it actually has a religious origin and significance. Mothering Sunday falls on the fourth Sunday of Lent, traditionally known as Refreshment Sunday, a kind of day off from the austerities of Lent. And so from that we get the custom of offering to all the ladies in the congregation something rather sweeter than you might otherwise expect in Lent. It's also normally the Sunday nearest the Feast of the Annunciation, when we recall how the angel Gabriel told Mary that she was to be the mother of God's Son. This year, the goodies for the ladies came in the shape of a teapot. And again, a very English thing. When someone is stressed or tired or upset, we may say, "Let's have a nice cup of tea." And it's usually the mother, of course, who says this and goes off to make the cup of tea. And I hope nobody's going to accuse me of being sexist, but that's how it is. And to offer somebody a cup of tea in those sorts of situations when someone is in need of a bit of TLC, it is to offer refreshment to mind and body as well as soul. It's a way of showing that someone has noticed your need for comfort and support, your need to know that someone has taken notice. And this sort of kindness is so bound up with the idea of mothering that English people often say, "Shall I be mother?" which means, "Shall I pour the tea?" And even men say it sometimes, which goes to show that mothering is for anyone and for everyone. A famous mother who never had any children herself was Mother Julian of Norwich, a 14th century mystic, who wrote about her visions in a book called The Revelation of Divine Love. In it she wrote that God is our mother as well as our father, by which she meant that God's love for us is like the love a mother gives to her child, because the child cannot manage, provide for itself. And the church is also referred to as our mother by Lady Julian and by other great spiritual writers. And she too, the church, gives her children the gift of refreshment and companionship, especially in the Eucharist, but also in the cup of coffee after the service. In a previous parish, one member of the congregation told me how a neighbour had said to her, "You Anglicans are always having communion. So just like going to a coffee morning." Had I been there, I might have answered, "Well, yes, that's the point. You don't go to a coffee morning just for the coffee. You go there to support a good cause, the charity or whatever it is that's organised the coffee morning. You go to meet people, to chat, to listen. In other words, for, well, communion with others. That is, after all, what the earthly ministry of Jesus largely consisted of, as we read in the Gospels. What did he do to tell people the good news of the kingdom? He didn't preach long sermons. He didn't go through Bible passages verse by verse in minute detail. He sat down with people, listened to their troubles, shared meals with them, touched them. So it upsets me when people can't or won't see why the Eucharist must be at the centre of a Christian's life. And even more, it distresses me, leaves me in despair sometimes, when people do not support and encourage our children and young people to love the sacrament, but instead just let them think it's too long, incomprehensible or irrelevant, generally not for them. Something else typically English is the OXO cube on sale at good church food stalls near you. It's used to make gravy sauce. And for many years, there was a series of advertisements on the television. And the the star, as it were, of the advertisements was known as the OXO mum. And the advertisements featured a family gathered at table to share the meal that the mother had prepared. But the series was dropped a few years ago because it was said it was not relevant anymore. Families do not sit down to eat meals together. If that is true, it's a sad reflection on the fragmentation and individualism of modern society. Meals are no longer a time for communion, as the family members tell each other about their day, listen to each other, giving sympathy or advice, telling jokes or whatever the situation requires. Instead, meals are to be grabbed quickly on your own when it suits you, a necessary interruption in your own busy personal schedule. But strangely, on the other hand, TV chefs are major celebrities, and there's a huge range of cookery magazines in the shops. But if you think about it, that too is a feature of an individualistic and narcissistic society. Celebrity culture is about showing off, saying, look at me. And the recipes in the magazines and on the television programs are often intended to help you impress your guests. Or maybe they're designed to be something you can choose to fit in with your own personal lifestyle. Quick and easy, cheap but expensive looking, and so on. And it's no surprise that one famous TV chef, Delia Smith, a devout Roman Catholic, has turned her back on all this glitzy and artificial scene. And she's not making any more television programs. To celebrate the Eucharist, then, is a counter-cultural activity that challenges this utilitarian or narcissistic attitude to food and mealtime. We must not forget that the Eucharist is the shared meal for Jesus' followers. It gives us refreshment for body and soul, and it tells the world about what we believe and how we put this into practice. For a start, the Eucharist is a meal you cannot eat on your own. It is always a means of establishing and strengthening community, both with each other and with God. There is no such thing as a lone Christian, and the Eucharist is never celebrated in isolation from each other and from the rest of the world. As a family may sort out issues between them at the meal table or while they are doing the washing up, so the Eucharist gives us the opportunity for reconciliation. As Jesus said, if you have something against your brother or sister, first leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. In this and other ways, the church's feast points us to something and someone beyond ourselves, so different from the use of food to bolster our own image. And after sharing at God's table, we commit ourselves to being sent out by him to love and to serve the world. Because we feast on God's self-giving, we are formed into a community that is not self-centered, but lives for others. As William Temple, an Archbishop of Canterbury, said many years ago, the church is the only organization which exists for the sake of people who are not its members. The recipes in glossy magazines and on the television may help us to project an image of ourselves, and very possibly a false image. But the Eucharist reminds us instead that food is basically about blessing, about sharing, about creating relationships. So perhaps that is why the action of offering someone a cup of tea may count for so much. In itself, it is so simple that even a child can make a cup of tea to offer to his or her mother on Mothering Sunday. And because the thing itself is so simple, like a piece of bread or a sip of wine, it leaves plenty of room for the meaning of the action to filter through and for us to become aware of the breadth and the depth of what is going on. Let's have a nice cup of tea, like our Sunday celebration of the Eucharist. It points to the kind of listening, sharing relationship that the world sorely needs. Amen.